Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and the Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn.
Hey, thanks for checking us out on Our Stories. These podcasts run the gamut from harder news, like the proposed parking lot construction out near Surfers Beach, to some fun stuff, like the back-and-forth decisions on whether or not to mute the sound of the foghorn. That iconic Coastside sound is back, by the way, which has a lot of Coastsiders really happy, and some more Coastsiders, well, a little grumpy about it. Anyway, this week we have a story about water, or rather, the lack of water in the town of Pescadero. We have Sebastian Mignobicelli with us. He's the reporter who did the story with us on a couple of programs to help farm workers become farm owners. We really like doing that story, and we're excited to have Sebastian back. Hey, Sebastian.
Hey, glad to be here. I'm glad to be doing this story.
Well, I have to say, before people get worried that this is one of those, oh my God, this is horrible and there's no solution stories, it's not that. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Look, I followed this story for so long, going back to when it first started at Coastside News 2 years ago. But here's the thing. It looks like we finally have some positive news to report.
I do like to accentuate the positive, have a little hope. You know, I go back even further because this horrible water situation at the public schools in Pescadero, that was a story back when I was editor at the Half Moon Bay Review. That's 2 decades ago. And we were running stories about the poor Pescadero schools and its water issues. I remember kids couldn't drink out of the water fountains down there. They had to truck water in so kids could have water at school.
I'd say it's just gotten worse over the past 2 decades. But this recent development is a huge step forward. After so long, it does look like kids will have clean water at the schools now.
Oh, that's huge. Oh, my goodness. Finally, some progress.
So you have to remember how small Pescadero is. There's roughly 600 people living there. So they don't have the financial means to fix really big infrastructure issues like clean water. The middle school and high school get their water from their own wells on site, and that was a problem. The water is tainted, and the small Pescadero school system couldn't afford to fix it.
So I'm really happy to hear about the schools and the students will finally have clean tap water. But can we start with just the problem itself? Like, why does Pescadero have a water problem? What's going on there?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time down there with my recording equipment. If you want, I could take you down there and show you.
Oh, boy, field trip. I love field trips. Okay, where do we go first?
So I think the first stop is Cloverdale Road. We're at the intersection of Pescadero Creek Road and Cloverdale Road. It's a couple miles east of the main intersection, a couple miles east of downtown Pescadero. There are two big bulldozers here and another construction vehicle, a road leveler, setting up a path for the pipe known as the California Service Area 11 pipe. The dust is kicking up big time. You can see the dust in the air for a mile around, and they're moving quickly. The pipe extension has only a mile to go to reach Pescadero High School and Pescadero Middle School.
It's coming up Cloverdale, and it's going to come down this way.
And that's where I'm standing now, near the multi-purpose room, walking with a maintenance worker and a bus driver named Don McDermott. It's after school hours, so there are no kids around. And McDermott is trying to show me a spot where three large stakes are poking out of the ground.
Thank you.
It's the spot where clean water will finally be brought to Pescadero Middle and High Schools, from Cloverdale Road to end up at the two schools. Okay. So I have to warn you, this part is slightly gross. Because Don can't show me the drinking fountains or waters in the sink because those water lines have been turned off. There's only one set of places in the schools where the water has still been running. It's a bathroom. This one's in a maintenance shed. He points to the toilet where the water is murky yellowish color.
So that's just, on a regular day, it's just going to look
It's yellowish. Been such a while. Yeah. But I'll flush it. Some days it's better.
Yeah.
But that's probably about it.
Wow.
But we don't drink it. So
For decades now, Pescadero has trucked water into schools, Don says.
It's not cheap, but yeah, you got to have it. What are you going to do?
Okay, so Sebastian and I are back in the comfort of our little studio, and I have a ton of questions.
Like?
Well, first of all, this is great news that Pescadero schools...
And the new fire station that's tied into the new pipe also.
Okay, so the schools and the fire station, they're going to have clean tap water. So when will that happen?
The project is due to be completed in 2027.
Okay. Then the big question to me is, how bad is the water situation for the bulk of Pescadero?
Well, most of the people in Pescadero, about 100 households, are on public water systems, and the water is clean. The problem is that private wells can be contaminated.
Ah, so that's something the state and the county can't fix?
The county is offering free testing of well water.
But I'm guessing, since Pescadero is not a rich area, people are just making do?
Yeah, many people use the well water for other purposes, like showering or washing clothes, and they bring their drinking water from other places, like the water store in Half Moon Bay.
That's kind of a long haul to get a drink of water.
But in some cases, the water has too much sediment to run a washing machine, so they can't wash their clothes in a machine.
So they go to a laundromat.
Which doesn't exist in Pescadero. There is no laundromat in Pescadero.
So what do people do?
One nonprofit in Pescadero started running a mobile laundry truck.
So everyone brings their laundry to the truck on certain days?
And they're swamped. They're always busy. There's no other place in town to go wash your clothes, and people know that the water is clean.
Sebastio Mignabucelli, thank you for stopping by and for taking us out to Pescadero to see what's going on there.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Hey, that's a cool bit of transition music, don't you think? Which leads us to another really different piece of music.
Baby, you're back in heat.
Oh, hey, you don't like that? Try this one. So welcome to the world of Nudie Records. It's a Half Moon Bay business that just celebrated its fifth anniversary. 5 years old, Elise Gasper. How does that feel?
It feels amazing. I can't believe we're here.
Well, so Elise Gasper and her husband Luke Gasper started this project in their house out of a love for vinyl records and a soft spot for independent artists. And they now produce vinyl records for about 2 dozen artists around the country. And the business is growing. So tell me, Elise Gasper, what this business has meant to you over the past 5 years.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. So we started in 2020, and it was really just an experiment. We didn't even mean to start a record label. We just wanted to produce one of my husband's records. The label that he was working with was kind of sitting on it, and it was long enough that I was like, well, let's just look into how to make a record. And what we wanted was a vinyl record, something we could hold in our hands and look at and share with our friends. Physical.
So let me interrupt you because you've made vinyl records. Where do you do that?
Yeah, so we work with a pressing plant in Canada, and they actually press our records primarily in the Czech Republic. There are not many vinyl pressing plants in this world.
That's really, really complicated.
Yeah, I mean, there's just there. It's a little bit of a specialized industry. There are not that many.
A little bit.
Pressing plants. There are, you know, you can scale it, but. In the Czech Republic, I'm not going to get super technical, but there we do something called direct metal mastering, which means we're not pressing
a copy.
A copy. We're making a pressing on metal.
Right.
So it's going to hold up over time, and there's only a couple of these machines in the world, and most of them are in the Czech Republic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. You order maybe, I guess, 50 records at a time. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we press a couple hundred records at a time, okay. And then we send a certain percentage of that into distribution, and the rest of it we hold on to. Our artists get 30% of the pressing, which is a big part of why I think our artists are interested in working with us. And we don't charge them for those records. That's just part of the deal when you work with us, so you get records of your own, which I think can be something that is cost prohibitive for a lot of artists.
Well, and it's really satisfying.
Yeah.
It's always good to have the thing.
Yeah, there's really no substitute. I mean, I think now, you know, all of us engage with streaming. We've all gone through many different, you know, cassettes and CDs and maybe even other kinds of media that we've like played around with over the years. But the vinyl record really it persists. It's stuck around. Vinyl record sales are back up. People are buying records again. They want to have them on their shelves. They want to display them.
Well, I would say that the vinyl itself is attractive, but really a lot of people are into the covers.
Totally. Totally.
But so do you do that too?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's part of the whole thing. I mean, each project is really unique. Each artist that we work with comes in with a totally different set of, like, some of them are working with managers. Some of them are totally working on their own. Some of them have real sense of aesthetic and maybe even artistic abilities of their own, or they work with specific people. And some people kind of come in saying, like, we're not sure, can you help us? So we try to meet them where they are. And that's a huge part of what attracted me to this whole project was I have a background in production and photography, and I'm really interested in art and design. And so just putting all of that together is a huge part of the process, because making the music is just the beginning. And then once we have the music, and then we have to kind of work on the art, and you got to get all of it together. And it all has to feel kind of cohesive, because, of course, you look at the cover, it's going to tell you something about what the music might be like, right? Or it's got to draw you in.
So, you know, the stuff on Nudie is a little eclectic.
Yes, yes.
And so it really is a range.
Yes.
It's a big range.
Totally. You can dip in at a lot of different points. We say heavy psych to honky tonk. For a few years, you know, it was sort of just saying yes to everything. And now that we're here, we get to look at it all and kind of try to put a through line. You know, what makes this a Nudie record? What makes that a Nudie record, you know?
So I know they're all like, they're like your children, and you can't have a favorite. But what's your favorite?
Uh-huh. Well,
tell me who I should listen to.
Right? Well, the one that I'll call out right now was an exciting one for me. Her name is Kaylee Rocker.
And stay to me closely as darkness sets in. Fly up, little birdie, fly around.
And she is... one of the songwriters in another band that that joined the label very early. And they came out here and we met them, and it was so special. And for me, I had this moment with her where I said, I bet you have your own record inside of you. And she was like, she like lit up. And having that moment, like to be able to say to someone, like, I see you, I hear something inside of you, and I'd love to help support that. So to me, that's really special, because getting that out into the world and then holding it in my hand felt like I was really a part of that entire
process.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And she had the songs inside of her, but she just needed somebody to say, I'm going to put those songs out. Yeah, and it's a beautiful record. It's a self-titled record by Kaylee Rocker. There's not a lot of money that was being exchanged here. It's really kind of like the idea of getting your music out there and like kind of exploring at the beginning of somebody's career. So Luke and I always say, like, our hope is that these artists are going to maybe go on to bigger labels and go on to bigger things, and then we can help get them there. You know, we're like one step on their journey.
So looking forward, now that it's been successful, where do you want to take it?
Yeah, that's a really good question that we're asking ourselves this right now. And then I'm also looking eventually for potentially like a physical space here on the coast where we could create a studio, you know, and make a place where we could invite bands to come and record here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a number of really special studios around the country that are destination spots for people to come and work on projects. And we have met so many amazing people. It would be great to create a little home. So I have my eye out for that. It's not easy here, but that is definitely something that I'm like dreaming about.
Well, thank you for stopping by, saying hello.
Great to talk to you.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah, that was fun.
I would like to thank Sebastian Mignon-Bicelli for his reporting. Also need to thank publisher Emma Spaeth and editor Peter Tarkovsky of Coastside News. I want to thank KHMB General Manager Jim Henderson and KHMB Engineer Jay Michaels. I would like to also thank the Half Moon Bay Chamber of Commerce for the use of its excellent podcast room. Thanks, of course, to Coastal Literary Arts for its support and for lending us smart radio guy Peter Finch. And thanks, of course, to you for listening, for filling your ears with Coastside News. See you on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. on KHMB Radio, on the Coastside News website, on Spotify, and other apps. Adios.